Well, Rick, good morning.
Morning, Greg. John, how you guys doing?
Coach, great to hear from you. We're doing great.
You know, I know a coach doesn't like to lose, and there's no such thing as a moral victory, but I was following along. I was listening to Chip, and the vibe I got is your team went up there and played pretty dang good.
We did. You know, I was proud of how we played, to be honest with you. Obviously, we didn't play good enough to win, and when you play those kind of teams, you got to, you know, you got to play really good, and you got to get a couple breaks. And we weren't able to create any turnovers, and we didn't play as good, like I said, as we needed to. But you can't fault their competitiveness, their effort. We played really hard, played better. I thought we played better than we did the first game. I thought we improved in some areas, and so I think our team walked out of there with a little bit of confidence that if we can get some things corrected, and get better at certain things, we got a chance.
Yeah, you get the score right before halftime, I believe, Coach. It's a one-score game going to the second half. Seemed like they just kind of leaned on you a little bit in the second half. What do you think they did or what kind of went wrong for you in that second half, you think?
Well, probably the big thing, John, is we gave up one explosive play in the first half. Mm-hmm. And then the second half, we got the ball first, and we drove it down there, had a nice little drive going, and we took a sack, knocked us out of field goal or going for it on fourth down range, and then they hit a big play, went down, scored. Then the next possession, I think it was, they made a really nice play on an interception and got the ball on the plus side of the field and scored, and I think we went three and out. And, they scored again. So they had a stretch there. They hit a big play in the turnover, and, they capitalized on it. So, it got up, where it kind of – they ran away from us there a little bit middle towards the end of the third quarter.
Can you sense with Bailey Hockman the fact that he's been there before? I mean, this is a guy that, threw for over 2,000 yards in last year at NC State, 13 touchdowns. He's played in these kind of situations before when he was at NC State. Can you sense that with him that, hey, this is something that I'm used to?
Yeah, maybe, Greg, to me, all our guys have played in them games, though, or most of our guys have, so – like I said earlier, we weren't going to walk in there being in awe or intimidated by anything, but, you can tell Bailey has played a bunch of college snaps, and I think he's very confident in his own abilities, and, and that's what you want in a quarterback. But, I think the big thing is just, not so much he's been at NC State or in the ACC, played there, but he's played, and he's got a lot of experience under his belt.
Big game for Jimmy Marshall, 8 catches, 111 yards, Coach. How's he progressed as the season's gone along?
Really proud of Jimmy. I think Jimmy is a completely different player than what he was last year. And he's really bought in. He's worked hard, had a good summer off season. And, we're utilizing him, moving him around a lot of different places. You've seen him at an outside receiver, a slot receiver, an attached tight end. So we're doing a lot of things with him. And he's bought in, 100% in everything we're doing. So I'm really proud of him. He had a really, really nice game. And continues to be a good player for us and a good leader for us.
Have you had many receivers 6'5"?
No, I mean, you had a couple at Clemson, Kevin Youngblood when I was there, and he played in the NFL, and, Jimmy, Chris McGlover, back early 08, 09, he was a 6'3 guy, maybe 6'4. But Jimmy, the thing that stands out about Jimmy the most is just his willingness to get in there and block as an attached tight end, as a slot receiver, going in there and blocking linebackers, at 230 pounds. And, his size enables him to do that. But to me, the big thing is is his willingness to do it, because he's basically been a outside, you know, receiver all his life. And, you know, now going in there and asking him to be a glorified offensive tackle, you know, a lot of guys don't want to do that, but he is bought in. And, like I said, I'm really proud of him.
Coach, in a totally unrelated matter to the game, I thought the blue-on-blue unis looked fire. I know it was a hot day out there, but was that your idea? I love the blue-on-blue.
No. You know, obviously they had a whiteout deal going on. And but Larry Maples, our equipment manager, you know, I let him. He decides the color combination of everything there. And we've worn it before a bunch, but no, it's a good look. Our players like it, but Larry deserves all the credit for anything like that.
MTSU football coach Rick Stock still with us at Texas San Antonio. Open up Conference USA play. Tell us about UTSA.
A really good team. You know, they beat Illinois the first game, first week of the season, or their first game, Illinois' second game. 37-30, and then they beat Lamar last week 54-0. So they can score points. They're averaging a bunch. They scored a bunch last year. You know, it's a very fast team. It's very athletic on both sides of the ball. They've got a really, really outstanding running back. And their quarterbacks are guys that, you know, can beat you with their feet as well as throwing the ball. So it's got a couple really good receivers that are, you know, really high up in the conference standings or statistical standings, you know, there. So it's a really good football team. And going into that dome, it's going to be loud. They'll probably have a really, really nice crowd. And, you know, it's a loud stadium being in there, as you guys know from your experiences being in domes. And so it's a good football team.
I was going to ask, Coach, when you go on the road to play these tough conference road games, especially the first conference game of the season, do you guys kind of take that us against the world mentality going in?
Well, I think, John, you kind of got to do that, you know, no matter who you play on the road, because, you know, there's not going to be anybody there cheering for you, you know, 25, 50 people maybe, you know, 100 people, you know, so most everybody's against you. So you got to have that, you know, mentality, and that's why I always talk about how tough you have to be to play on the road, because, you know, whether it's a bus trip or a flight or playing in a dome or playing outside, you know, you're going to unfamiliar territory where they're not cheering for you, and you've got to be mentally and physically tough, you know, to play the game and to block all that outside noise out and focus on what you have to focus on to be able to play your best game.
You know, Rick, I don't know, we talk about kickers, punters much, but you got a dang good punter, Kyle Ulbrich, on the Ray Guy Award watch list candidate. In the first three punts, what, 52, 55, 56, and his fourth one inside the 5 and two inside the 10. When you have somebody of that caliber, does that alter some of your approach in your play calling?
No, I don't think so, Greg. I think probably where it affects you more is when you get down there a little bit closer, do you have more confidence in making a field goal, a longer field goal, or do you have more confidence in being able to pin them down inside the 5, inside the 10? And so I think it probably affects that more so than what you're going to do on third down. But I thought Kyle was really outstanding Saturday. And to me, and I said it earlier in the week, to me, his best punt was when we punted from the, I think it was the 35 or 38 yard line. You know, and a lot of punters, you know, you get a little selfish and say, if I punt this in inside the 10 or the 5, I'm only going to have a 25 yard punt. You know, if I put it in the end zone, I'm going to get credit for 35. And I thought he was very unselfish, did a really good job of, I think that's when he put it on the 7 or the 8, and did a really good job there. So, but I thought he was outstanding. I thought he, you know, has really done a nice job these first 2 weeks.
Talking to Rick Stockstill, Middle Tennessee State head football coach on the Greg Pogue, John Burton show. Greg asked you, Coach, about Bailey Hockman a little earlier. How's he been from a leadership standpoint so far?
I think he's getting better. You know, I think it's always tough when you're an older player and you're coming to a new team. And you're coming, you know, it's not like you're bringing in a senior, junior, and everybody else is freshman. You know, we had older players, so I think, you know, there's that acclimation, you know, where you're, you know, you want to be yourself and you know, start developing relationships with everybody. You know, so I think he's gotten better. He's a pretty quiet kid, you know, naturally. But, you know, here the last 4 months or so, you know, since this summer, he's really done a nice job and encouraging guys and you know, working with everybody. So I think he's doing a really good job from a leadership standpoint and continues to get better week after week.
Rick, I always wondered, because obviously you got Texas San Antonio, and it's one game at a time, right? Am I getting it right on that?
Yeah.
Okay, just one.
we're looking at game 9 right now.
Yeah. but you go to and I understand what you said, but a week from Saturday you go to Charlotte, and then after that you've got I'm just looking. You've got Marshall coming in. So, at what moment does the advance work? Obviously, you're focused on this week, but I would assume that you already have advance work being done by staff members on these other teams. How does that work?
I'm working on Charlotte started yesterday because actually it's a Friday night game.
Oh, okay.
So normally, you know, we practice Sunday. Monday's our day off. But now with Charlotte being a Friday night game, we're going to, you know, we'll work Friday. I mean, we'll practice Sunday. I'm going to have to practice Monday now, and I'm trying to figure out a time with all the class schedules, which is, you know, we probably going to have to go at 8, 9 o'clock at night, you know, the way it looks now. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, play Friday, and then Saturday would be their day off, you know, and then just with, you know, all the, you know, the COVID protocol stuff, you know, I spend so much dang time on where people sit on planes and buses. I'm trying to, you know, it seems that it's all I, not all I do, but I spend an enormous amount of time doing that. So last night I started, you know, trying to figure out a plan and working out a plan for Charlotte, one, how we're going to practice, you know, what's the best way to do it, the most efficient way, and understanding that it's a, you know, you just had a long, you know, bus trip and back to Virginia Tech, a physical game there. Now you're flying to San Antonio to play a conference game. You're going to get back late, you know, because it's a night game. You're going to get back late, you know, Saturday night. Now you got to turn around Sunday, you know, and you're on a short week. So just making sure we're doing things to keep people fresh and that when we get to Charlotte on a Friday night that, you know, that you're as fresh and ready to go and prepared, you know, as you can be.
The good thing about that, though, it's on national television. So
yeah, I didn't know that. So
yeah, CBS Sports Network has it, according, and if your website's right. And listen, we will erase this tape. We don't want any coach talking about anything more than just the game ahead of them, okay? We'll get rid of that. But two games in, at what moment do you sense what your team's about, what kind of character it has?
I can tell you that right now. I love the character of our team. I love the camaraderie, the brotherhood, you know, the closeness, the accountability to each other on this team. Are we as good as we need to be or can be? No. Do we have some deficiencies? Yes. You know, we got to continue to get better in that area. But the intangibles that a coach looks at in a team, you know, I love this team. We got good guys, guys that work, guys that care, the guys that are committed, you know. So I can tell you that right now. And then what kind of team we're going to be, you know, I think it just because you put a different team out there every week. You know, this team that we put out this week will not be the same as the team we put out last week just because of the, you know, the injuries that you have and all that sort of thing. So, but I love this team. I love where we're at from, you know, the intangibles that you're looking for.
Well, Rick, good luck Saturday at San Antonio. Remember the Alamo. Wasn't it a bunch of Tennesseans that went down there and tried to save that thing? So anyway, Rick, good luck. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Coach.
Have a great week.
All right. Good luck.
Bud Moore State Farm Insurance brings you all of our MTSU visitors right there, 3245 Franklin Road in the borough. Office hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Bud Moore State Farm Insurance, auto, home, property, life, health, rental. You can take them individually or bundle them. Banking products, annuity, State Farm experience with Bud since 1972. That staff has more than 100 years combined experience. And my experiences go back really three decades. When I moved to Rutherford County back in the early 90s, Bud Moore State Farm Insurance had that house and the one I've been living in for, I don't know, 22, 23 years and probably dying, hopefully not soon. But anyway, Bud Moore State Farm Insurance is there, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And just a class act and a fine American, U.S. Army decorated Vietnam veteran and all of that. And a member of both the Chamber of Commerce and Better Business Bureau down there. Reach Bud and that staff, 615-893-1417, or visit online, budmorris.biz.